Everybody, I am Simply Butch, and another edition of Butch on Sports is here to come here. Yes, it is. It's a Thursday, early Thursday morning, boys and girls. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Butch on Sports here. Yes, I am Simply Butch, and let's have at it with some sports news. This is going to be, of course, maybe one of those abbreviated versions of Butch on Sports here, but we're going to do our best to give you some sports news that you can't get enough of. And again, I must clear my throat for some of this stuff here. Well, you know, it's just shy of 10 years here. And I was there at this particular game at the ballpark, and a stunning event occurred. And some people have forgotten, and most of us have not. Detroit's former pitcher, Armando Galarraga, in my mind, pitched a no-hitter. Well, you know, in my mind, and many other minds, too, here. Armando Galarraga wants to be credited for the achievement of a no-hitter. Now, we know on June the 2nd, 2010, Galarraga retired the first 26 batters. I was there. I'll confirm that. And Cleveland is batters in all in the order into an induced ground ball to first and second by Jason McDonald that Miguel Cabrera had fielded, came off the bag, fielded, and threw it to Galarraga, who caught the ball and clearly stepped on the base before Donald arrived. However, the first base umpire, whose name is Jim Joyce, ruled that Donald was safe. An error was acknowledged immediately after the game. Jim Joyce got to see the film, and lo, he looked like a bozo. Galarraga retired the next batter. However, that perfect game, or as I should say, a no-hitter, was gone. Flushed down the toilet here. On TV and everybody who watched in live at that particular ball game, and that still got a bad taste in your mouth when you think about it. There, Galarraga now he's looking at Major League Baseball and said, you know what, the umpire admitted it. He said he screwed up. He wants to have credit for the 24th official perfect game. You know, to find that, you know, that he did retire all 27 batters in a row. And the starting pitcher finished the game, of course, in Major League history. And Joyce, to his credit, he immediately owned up to the missed call. He did do that. And next day, I went to the game, all hug and kisses. And a couple games later, his Galarraga got a Corvette, you know, from, you know, the Detroit Tigers, because, again, he got screwed. But again, you know, getting back to Joyce, he expressed his remorse when he was speaking to the reporters after the game. And they allowed us to, you know, very few times. We normally would have a pool reporter go down and see the umpires, which we reporters are not allowed. But in this particular case, after the pool reporter had went down and got the story from Joyce that, yes, he screwed up, they allow us to come down and get Joyce a statement, and he said he, you know, and in this word, he kicked the S, and you add some little directness, and the final letter of that particular word is T out of it. He screwed it up. Yes, he admitted it there. Joyce was first to ask the commissioner office about the overturning the call and awarding Galarraga the perfect game. Because, of course, you know, the blue ball attitude of some people in the world of sports when you can't change a decision. And that kind of screws everything up to the leads up to instant replay and all this other stuff, which, by the way, at that time was not available there. Well, it was available, and we all saw this mistake, but Major League Baseball didn't, you know, recognize using cameras in order to change a call. You know, Joyce said he agreed with him. I agreed because he did it and told the officials, the commissioner, everybody else, he screwed it up. Of course, Joyce's life went down the hill, too. He received death threats for weeks and weeks. And he wrestled knowing that the history of the altering of the game, they called Jason Donald Safe, will haunt him for the rest of his life there. He's, you know, Joyce has a home in Portland, Oregon, where I used to reside. And I feel bad for him because he's in a good place right now. Portland won't little fans won't. Good thing you don't live in Detroit here. I don't know where. But, you know, that's sports. I started the show off with something gruesome. Yeah, more words on that. Nine times out of ten, it will surprise me in Major League Baseball even recognize the bad boy here. Oh, boy. Did you watch Raw the other night? Yes, on Monday night. You know, after I got off the air for the show The Game, myself, Scott Nason, Dave McKay, and also E.J. Russell, we all got together and did a pretty damn good show here. And I turned on the TV to, Raw on USA Network, and they started the show off with Becky Lynch coming out of there. You kind of speculate, you know, after the Money in the Bank match the night before, you know, she might talk about that, but she came on out and zapped everybody's mind. She said in a nice little way and had a nice little speech going on there. Still didn't give in on what was really going on. Then Oscar came on out. All surprised because she felt that Becky Lynch stole the suitcase, which she had the money in the bank. And she came in there pitching a conniption and everything else and do what a diddy diddy dum diddy do. But it finally calmed down. You know, she said in her words there, you know, like it was something, maybe a major injury or something. Becky Lynch said, I can't fight anymore, but you can. You're the champ, you know, and you just didn't know, and she explained herself. You wasn't really going out for just the money in the bank, which you did win. You went out, and inside the case, which she opened up, was the WWE championship belt in there. She said, you know, right now I actually, you know, she said in the match, it was actually for Raw Women's Championship there. That she explained that. It wasn't one of the money, it was the Raw Women's Championship. She said, I can't fight anymore, but you can. You're the champion. You go and be the warrior because I am going to be a mother. And that shocked the crap out of probably a whole lot of people who were watching Raw. Including yours truly there. Yes, Becky Lynch is pregnant. And she'll be stepping away from the world of professional wrestling. Who knows how long, okay? But she got a good reason. Lynch has been the World Women's Championship since April, you know, opened up the WWE flagship show by relinquishing her championship to Asuka. And she lived happily ever after. really did. Money in the Bank, huh? They tricked her. But what a good trick here. It's Oscar now is the Women's WWE Championship now. And I thought there was a great touch they put on it there. It, you know, you thought for something else, really a lot bad, or maybe they're going to really have a cat fight in the, in the ring, but yet still wasn't. It was a good news to Oscar there. And good luck to Becky Lynch, because you're not going to see her for a while, maybe on some tape shows or something of that nature, see how she's doing, but she's disappeared for a while. And meanwhile, Seth Rollins, who is supposedly the father, because it was very well announced that they were about ready to get married, he's playing the stiff man here, a routine there. That's right now he's, you know, he has a lot to prove. And I didn't see his match later on that night, and I went to bye-bye. But he took a stiffy approach on it here. And weeks to tell, you know, how he's going to come back and deal with this stiffy approach, you know, being that McIntyre beat him up. But maybe Seth Rollins might be disappearing too for a while. Maybe. We don't know. Yeah, WWE is pretty sneaky here. Being a sneaky there, the timing of a video about fueling people's expectations and, you know, Mike Tyson about a couple of days ago said he was showed a video that he was getting in shape, ready to go to fight. Mike Tyson, 53 years old. On the other hand, the next doggone day, Evander Holyfield shows a little film that, you know, he's planning on getting him back to the groove of things here. Wow. Holyfield, 57 years old. Holyfield has a special desire to return to the ring for charity events. I don't know, charity. He's going to get paid for whatever he do. He wasn't opposed by talking about Tyson. Holyfield said in a previous opponent, it would probably be Riddick Bowe. I don't know, Riddick Bowe. It puzzles me if they both poor as crap or really need the money or something. Not radically right, but TMZ gave that report on their particular show about what they found out, and the films were released to them, and of course they broke this particular story. Fans might want to see Holyfield and Tyson one more time. Me, I do not. It's a no-starter for me. Maybe somebody else, I'll let the old man fight. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't really care for it. You know, I think really and truly maybe they're getting some wrestling or something there. Holyfield tagged a couple of wrestlers in his tweet when he gave, you know, couldn't get involved with the WWE. Tyson didn't say anything about the WWE connection there in this video, and I'll tell you why in a few moments there. Although he does have ties with the WWE, matter of fact, he's a Hall of Famer, you know. He did a bit part on, you know, Holyfield's ear, too, in the second fight, you know. Maybe Holyfield wants to get back at him and chew up his ear. I don't know. Despite that, they're supposed to be friends today here, but what do I know there? What do I know at all? They did announce tonight on AEW when they had their next pay-per-view event. Mike Tyson, I think, may be refereeing that particular main event. John Motley, a.k.a. Dean Ambrose, against this new guy here. You know, managed by Jake the Snake Roberts. What do I know? I'm just reporting the news. Okay. WFC, or UFC, I should say. I'm going to get out of wrestling, going to the Fighting Cage. And many people watch the particular. I watch a bit of the prelims because I wasn't paying no $80 to see no crap. And I wasn't. I really was not. However, people I noticed on the set, and there wasn't no social distancing at all. They were shaking hands, giving each other hugs. The crowd was kind of loose, even down to the reporters and the journalists were not 6 feet apart from each other at all. They didn't have no masks while they were doing the fight. You know. Don't know. I couldn't understand it. Commentator Joe Rogan was a major part of those particular complaints, too. You know, he insists on shaking hands with every fighter, including the bloody fight between Jason Gunther, okay? Justin Gunther, I do believe that's his name is. That was this past Saturday, or this Saturday past. They shouldn't have, you know, Rogan touched him and the guy's all bloodied up. You know, I don't know what the deal is, but, you know, Rogan, of course. And I had to kind of mention it on the Game Sports Show that, you know, Dana White has been defiant ever since this COVID-19 has come about there. You know, it took a lot of public people to complain about him continually to hold these fights and market them and stuff there until finally he stopped. I think less than a month until he cranked up this particular fight this past Saturday. And they're supposed to be 6 feet apart. I mean, the participants, let's talk about the participants, they weren't. You know, it's supposed to be no face-to-face in the octagon post-fight or no backstage interviews, according to the plan. This is the safety plan that's supposed to be carried out. Of course, it was not being conducted by various people who observed this, including the New York Times, who wrote a 25-page report on this particular incident this past Friday. Saturday, I should say. Interviews or commentators will be stationed in separate arena zones. They were not. You know, the UFC said ahead of the event that they would not permit interviews inside the octagon during the fight, but it was. And Gordon, and this is what I saw. You know, wrapping up the event with the analyst, I think his name is Daniel Cormier. Or Cormier, explained to Rogan that he received permission to do interviews that violated social distancing guidelines. You know, you threw a fit before the show, Cormier said to Rogan, this is insane. Everybody has been tested. We're all clean. So what? Yee dee dee da da, dis boom ba. And people are quite sure are still talking about this guy. So we're hoping, and of course, before the fight started, they had tested one fighter who were COVID-19 positive. They said everybody else was clean. So what? Now, the scientists have said, it doesn't mean if you tested today positive, you may be negative tomorrow, or vice versa. We'll see what jump off on that one. Down the road a piece. The NBA contract with Spalding is going to be expiring pretty doggone soon, as Wilson will be the new partner and old friend of the NBA there. The league officially said the game ball will be started off in the 2001-2002 season, 22 season there, 2021-2022 season. Now, got that right here. It happens to be the league's 75th anniversary. Sources with knowledge knowing about the information of the deal. Plus, Yahoo Sports had this full-fledged report about this particular with the NBA, talked to the NBA, and they confirmed that, yes, they're going to be changing the balls. Wilson will serve as the official ball for the WNBA, the NBA G League, the NBA 2K League, and Basketball Africa, which is known as BAL. Sources and knowledge in Yahoo Sports also reported that. The NBA and Spalding mutually agreed to part ways, sources said. Spalding has been official ball for the NBA since 1983. Prior to that, Wilson was the league partner for 37 years. The same leather and the products specified will be part of the new ball. With the assist of the NBA and the NBA Players Association, will create the advisory board to give suggestions on how the ball should look. And also, you know, what writing goes on in producing, designing, and players' insignia, especially, and all this other good stuff coming to play with rights of, you know, selling the ball, and also, you know, making a little money on the side with, you know, some special perks involved there. The WNBA will continue to use their composite ball there, but Wilson still will make it to those specs that the WNBA was playing with the ball. Solely die there, you know. Yep, the NBA's getting a new ball. Of course, Wilson's the official ball for the NCAA, and it's mostly used in high school games around the country. So, you know, don't get all mad and upset there. The ball now is more universal than ever. Wilson makes fine products. Spalding does, too. I don't know what side to lean on there, but again, as my dad used to say, a ball's a ball. Only twice in NHL history has the Cup has not been awarded. And, you know, and those years that was 2019 during a worldwide flu pandemic, and also 2005. That's when, that's, you know, the league, you know, held a lockout. But during a virtual town hall meeting, which a lot of those particular meetings have been going about there with the Sharks, with the San Jose Sharks host and moderator for a bunch of business people, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman told the members of the Team Business Alliance that he remains to keep awarding the Stanley Cup this season. And flexibility when it comes available, and schedule is also available when everybody's able to play again. He still has not given up hope yet. We're talking about the NHL. All who, you know, one and all. Hey, Butch, have you heard about what's going on in the NHL? No, but that's what the deal is right now. That's the deal. What a crap. Hey, but you know what? States are loosening up slowly but surely. Slowly but surely. Of course, a lot of doctors are saying that's the wrong move. And I got to go along with the scientists here. You know, not the Oki Poloi here of sports here. Let's move on here. Let's move on. Gretchen Whitmer, our governor of Michigan, she was on one of the latest shows. She was being interviewed with a radio interview on WQKI on Tuesday. And Whitmer expressed confidence the games will be played in the fall, but she doubt that Ford Field will be packed, or the big house, or any other's house. Of course, she admitted in a nice little way that, you know what, things ain't going to be like they used to be. So if you're expecting a stadium full of people, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. It was not going to happen. It's going to be limited amount of people going into stadiums who will have the right to watch a game. That's going to leak off a whole lot of people, or a lot of tailgating with a lot of, I don't know what's going to go on. But that's the word that Governor Whitmer gave to this particular radio interview this past Tuesday. You ain't going to see no sellouts. If they are, those people with tickets ain't going to all get in due to coronavirus there. You see, they had a point. Football games in empty or mostly empty stadiums appear to be the best case scenario for the season. Governor Whitner said, that's what the governor said. She said, we're not going to be filling stadiums. And that's what the governor said. So you expect to see that. Oh, wow. Hey, in the meanwhile, talking about return to sports, wrapping on up there, Fox is already getting their game plans together for the football season. Play-by-play announcer Joe Buck provided a glimpse on this yesterday on Sirius Radio. I don't know what made me cut this on here. When I went to the car to watch radio, and I get Sirius for free for 90 days or something, and I turn the radio and I'm hearing him on his radio with Andy Cohen. And Buck said the plans are already in place for the network to anticipate NFL broadcasts, and Fox is planning to do its best to simulate a normal atmosphere by pumping in crowd noises and placing digital fans in the stands of empty NFL stadiums. Don't you love that? Come on, fans. What do you think? I don't know what the hell to think here, but I know one thing for sure. I'm out of time. I am definitely out of time. And thus ends another edition of Butch on Sports on a Thursday. Hey, glad you're with me. Glad you're listening to this program. Hey, tell your friends about Butch on Sports. You can check it out on Facebook, always on Facebook. Go to Butch on Sports on Facebook and get the 411 on what's going on in sports. Also, you may go to Podomatic.com. Or just type in SimpleButchToO.podomatic.com. This show is also available on thegamesportsshow.com and thegamesportsshow.podbean.com. And don't forget, on Mondays, of course, we do a show called The Game. It's always readily available on that particular two sites I just mentioned, as well with Scott Nason, E.J. Russell. Yes, Dave McKay, which all of us was, the band was back together again. Hey, and yours truly, some tasty tidbits of information and a good show indeed. So don't miss it, or, you know, go online and check the latest shows or other shows that you might, you know, take a liking to on those particular two websites there. Also, you can also get us on iTunes. Yes, you can. I'm done. Hey, have a great early Thursday and a great weekend. Stay safe, everyone. Don't get in trouble. Hey, there's enough out there. And we'll check you out on the Sunday.